Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014. That's hashtag AST 2014 if you were following on Twitter. Stone, we got somebody here that's very special. We tried to get him yesterday, but he didn't have time for us. But today he sliced out a little portion of his day to spend some time with us.
Well, I'll tell you, this guy views time altogether differently. This is going to be a fantastic conversation. I really have been looking forward to it. He is commercial training and development leader for GE Capital Americas. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Mike Kunkel. How you doing, man?
I am doing well, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you really do have a little different slant. Obviously, very forward-thinking. What we want to talk to you about is your take on 22nd, I didn't say 21st, 22nd century selling skills. What's that all about, man? Speak to that a little bit.
Well, the 22nd century selling skills are skills that I've seen in the top 4% producers over the years in sales that have really propelled them to perform at a much higher level than the average or mid producers. And the reason I talk about them as 22nd century selling skills is that some of these skills are evolving to become more important in the profession of sales.
Now, are you seeing any 23rd century selling skills?
Not relative to sales, but that would be a different conversation offline.
Now, you spoke on this topic yesterday, yes?
Sunday.
A couple days ago.
Okay. On the 4th, and was there a question and answer period afterwards? And if so, what were some of the questions or topics that came up around it?
Well, we always get topics about insight selling and things, relative to how do salespeople really differentiate themselves from the rest of the pack and really talk about the value that their company provides. But I get a lot of, questions about this, the skills from the top producers and how they're different from the rest.
Now, is it that simple for an organization is just identify the top producers and tell the rest of the people to do what they're doing?
In theory, that's a great process, right? So looking at the top 4% producers and saying what makes them different. And then looking at the middle of the pack and saying, okay, so what do they do and what do they need to start doing that the top percent is doing? What do they need to stop doing that the top percent isn't? What should they continue doing maybe at a different level? So in theory, it's that simple to analyze it. Now, the process of then getting that middle of the pack to move toward doing more of what the top producers do, not that simple, of course.
Now, what are some of the traits of a top producer? And is it different from business to business, or is this some universal sales person trait?
No, actually that's very insightful, right? Because I could list out a series of traits or characteristics that we see in top producers. I can talk about the 22nd century selling skills, but one of the things I even caution people about in my presentation is that there's a lot of context involved in sales, and I call it sales nuance, right? So there's B2B, there's B2C, there's long sales cycle, short sales cycle, high ticket, low ticket, product, service, tangible, intangible, and in any given business, right, there's a mix of those. And so you can talk about these things. You can take these things that I've shared and learned from over 15 years of research and studying 17,000 salespeople, but you just can't take them at face value and run with them in your organization without doing some of your own analysis.
Now, is it possible, I mean, you've researched, like you said, 17,000 salespeople. Is selling, is that a born with or learned skill?
I think it's a mix of both. Everyone will want to tell you that you can train anybody, and you can train them on the skills. You can get people doing some things, but there are some things that are traits that people inherently bring. And so I've got a list of those that I can share with you, things like a drive, right, their drive to succeed, empathy, feeling somebody else's pain, understanding the personal impacts of customer problems, their ability to focus and prioritize, plan, execute, those sorts of things, their sense of responsibility, duty, commitment, feeling an obligation to help the customers that they serve. Those are some things that people bring to the table. And whether or not those are an exact fit for anyone's specific business who's listening. Those are things that they have to determine from analysis. But then there are other skills that you can teach, right? So training is all really about what do you do, why do you do it, how do you do it especially, and sometimes even then when and where do you do it, right? So you can teach things like lead generation, qualifying, diagnosis, understanding needs, requirements, those sorts of things. You can teach those to almost anybody. But they do have to bring some of that special mix that will make them successful in that business, in that market, with those customers, and in their product set. They have to bring some of the things to the table. You can teach them some of the others.
Now, can you teach someone to make one more call?
You can teach them the importance of making one more call. You can give them the tools and resources to make one more call. You can coach them about the impact of making one more call. But it's there is an element of horse and water there, right? You can salt the food, right, and make the horse thirsty, but you can't always make him drink.
Now, you're applying this internally at GE Capital Americas. This isn't just Mike Kunkel on some wild safari. You're applying this in the real world, right?
Well, I have applied this in the real world, but I do have to be clear about that, right? So I have been with GE Capital for just about 60 days. So I'm brand new to the organization, and I'm not necessarily representing them in the work that they do here today. I'm talking about the 25 years of my Kunkel experience and the things that I brought to the table with the top producer analysis work that I've done over the past 15 years or so.
Well, you must be a good salesman if you got a job at GE Capital.
Yeah,
America.
No kidding. You must have all these traits.
Well, I've got some 22nd century selling skills, so there you go.
Right. So what's been your favorite part so far? I guess to me it looks like one of the most intriguing parts of this would be the capture. Like, I'm envisioning like you running through the sales jungle with a pair of binoculars and capturing sales behavior. Talk about that a little bit. How do you capture that?
So there are a variety of ways that you do this, right? I mean, you can do things like have conversations and try to get some spec down about, you know, what are they doing in the sales organization and how are they doing it. And you start, I think, often with that to create what I just call a training hypothesis. Here's what I think is driving performance. And you can do surveys, right? Surveys are great for data collection, and you can analyze those surveys. But the truth is, in anything that requires human performance, if you want to really find out what they're doing, you know, because of sometimes the unconscious competence factor, right, where you talk to a top producer and they'll answer your question, and they'll be answering ethically. They'll be telling you what they really believe is the truth. But if you go observe them in the field, you often will see some special things that they didn't think to share because, again, they do these things unconsciously often.
Right. They just throw me the ball and I knock it out of the park. I don't understand your question.
That's it.
So and now, they don't realize some of the stuff that they're doing. Look at all this paparazzi, all this fam. I thought you said you've been working here 60 days. All these people walk in the carpet, they stop, they take a picture of Mike, they wave at him. What a fan base you've got.
Well, they just like to see the glare off my head.
So when you're dealing with salespeople and you're doing this research on them, are you just taking their word for it when they say they're a successful salesperson? Because sometimes I've found salespeople exaggerate.
They might stretch that a little bit.
Is that one of the traits?
hopefully not, right? But I will tell you, I can tell you a story about that, right? So I'm in an organization which will remain nameless, and
What's it rhyme with?
Don't fall into that, Mike. Don't let him do you like that.
Follow me to the bar. It rhymes with that. So I used to ask sales leadership, give me your best salespeople. And so I did this in this organization, and they gave me a fellow that I will name Matt. Matt had a territory in, let's say, Toledo. Now, at that point in time, Matt was 40% above average. Sounds pretty good, right, on paper. Mm-hmm. And so I take a step back, and I look at the history of that territory. Matt took it over 6 months previously from a lady named Sandy, and Sandy had it at 120% above. Mm-hmm. So Matt was slowly tanking this territory, right?
But he's winning awards.
Well,
he
was at the time, right? But if you fast forward 6 months into the 22nd century, they fired Matt because he completely tanked it. So I've stopped asking the salespeople. I've stopped asking sales leadership, give me your best people. No, that's not true. I still ask them that, but I do a lot of analysis then on my own with the data to try to figure out, like I did with this fellow Matt, who is really knocking the ball out of the park, or who perhaps inherited a great territory, or who has a monster account that without them, they can't develop a piece of business to save their soul. And if you get into the guts of it and you really figure out who's moving the needle, those are the people that you want to study and replicate.
Now, is there any tips on sales incentive programs that you have? Like, what's the best way to incent a salesperson?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question, and it's not necessarily the strongest area of my expertise, but it is obviously what I call a performance lever, something that surrounds the sales person in their environment, helps make them successful. And I think this often really varies by the business, right? One of the trickiest things about sales compensation is that you will always get what you pay for. Just be careful how you set it up. So I worked in a business once where they wanted to increase sales, and they started to incent volume. Well, they got volume okay, but the way that the salespeople got the volume was by,
reducing the price.
Reducing the price and incredible discounting.
Because they're right? Good at that. Salespeople are very, clever at, gaming systems.
Well, look, they often get a bad rap, right? But salespeople in general tend to be highly intelligent, especially when you start to get up to the top 20% and the top 20 of the top 20, which I talk about is the 4%ers. These are really bright people, and they will figure things out. And sometimes they will try to game the system, but more often than not, the system is just set up to incent something, and so they deliver it. And so, this company, then the next thing they did was they said, okay, well, we need to incent profitability. Well, then they got a whole bunch of profitable deals, but the volume dropped off rapidly. So one of the smartest things I saw is they went outside to a consultant who focused on compensation, and they built a program that had variable elements in a balance. And that compensation program, by the way, is still in place 15 years later, and it enables them to tweak each year how much volume versus profitability versus other elements are important. And they can adjust the compensation without actually changing the structure of the plan. I thought that was brilliant, and I think that's probably one of the best approaches toward comp.
Now, when it comes to the must-read list for sales mastery, do you typically encourage people to lean on some of the timeless classics, the greatest salesman in the world or something like that? Or are there new books coming out that you would suggest, hey, you really ought to...
I just follow Kunkel blog. Right, kunkelblog.com or something?
MikeKunkel.com, if you're going to, if we're going to endorse me, hey, I'll go for it. And by the way, it's KUNKLE. I do blog. It's just a personal passion. But to the book thing, right, I think it's a real mix. I think there are sales skills today that are, in fact, timeless, the relationship-building aspect. So, I look back at things like, Linda Richardson's body of work. Jill Conrath has been publishing more newly.
Oh, yeah,
you know Jill? Okay, yeah. So, Agile Selling just coming out, her new body of work. There's an old staple, Consultative Selling by Mac Hannon. Franklin Covey's got an interesting piece out that is really cool called Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. And they take a very ethical approach toward it. Now, one of the newer things that set things on their ear is the Challenger Sale by Matt and Nick and team. The whole move toward insight selling. So it's a real mix of things out there. And my suggestion is read as much as you possibly can, but read with a critical eye to find out, again, how does it fit in with the sales nuances at your company? Because one of the jokes I tell in my presentations that I quip about is that business books are dangerous. And I say that only because somebody has a huge amount of success in a company, and they capture all this down, they decide to write a book, and they publish it, and somebody else goes and grabs it at the bookstore, and they're in a completely different type of business. They're doing channel sales versus direct, they're B2C versus B2B, whatever it is so different. And they don't modify it toward their situation. So pay attention to context and nuance. But I'd suggest read as much as possible as the old classics, the new stuff, and figure out what can work best for you.
Now, do you have any tips for somebody that maybe is right out of college and is thinking about sales as a career?
Well, let's step back a little bit further. Why not go to a college where they actually have these sales curriculum? And the Sales Education Foundation at salesfoundation.org is actually working with universities to help them establish not just a marketing program, because marketing rocks and it's going to be more important in the future, but an actual sales curriculum. And out of, 4,000 universities in the U.S., there are 75 or 80 or so that actually have a dedicated sales curriculum. So look for one of those places. Now, if you're coming out, right, and you've graduated from one of those schools, you have something like a 90% rate of being placed in a sales job versus the standard, which is probably somewhere in the 40s or so. But, sales, getting a job and selling are exactly the same thing. So one of the things I've blogged about in some of my past career searches and how you can help people think about the pursuit of a job is no different than the pursuit of a customer. You can do research online, you can use LinkedIn, you can get referrals and introductions, and the people that do that kind of networking, whether it's selling or whether it's trying to find your next career home, are far more successful than others.
Now, these topics that we've been talking about, 22nd century selling skills, the traits, the disciplines, the things that can be transferred, all this is committed to, you have this captured on your blog, right? We can get access to some of these topics?
Yes, and I also post things out on SlideShare a lot. So, for example, this presentation, if you're familiar with Bitly, it's a shortener. It's bit.ly/ Kunkel Slides, and then capital ASTD 2014 will take you right to the slides for this presentation. Or you can just search Mike Kunkel SlideShare, and it'll pop up on Google or Yahoo or Bing or any search engine in the free world practically.
Not a lot of Kunkels out there, at least not a lot of Kunkels focused on sales excellence.
I don't think so. There's a guy at Harley-Davidson in training, and there's a bunch of KELs out there. In fact, one of the Mike Kunkel KELs is a famous cartoonist with a hero bear. So there's a bunch of us around. I just like to think that I've got the shiniest head out of all of them.
Well, thanks for coming down and hanging out with us, man. This has been a fun conversation. And when you get your sea legs over at GE Capital Americas, I'd love to have you come back on a broadcast at one of these trade shows or maybe one of the studios at Business Radio X and get caught up. And we want to continue to follow your work, man. You cool with that?
I'd be honored with that. It sounds like a great plan, and it's been a blast to be here with you gentlemen today. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.